I'm doing it.
Okay. Okay, guys, let me click the intro button.
Everyone, and welcome to episode 169 of the Book Wars Pod.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
God damn
so
it.
So nice.
We're talking about The Rising Storm by Kevin Scott, chapters 15 through 28. Chris, did you really write Elzar fucks
yes.
on this fucking outline?
I'm
oh my.
Stunned you didn't before me, honestly.
I thought we were going for the second point under that, which is what I was yelling at.
Oh, I mean, okay, there's just a lot on this outline. We're gonna get so many
things on this outline.
Holy
it got out of hand
shit.
Real quickly once Chris logged on to it.
I mean, as happens for sure.
I only typed like four things, but it definitely did still get out of hand.
One of them was Elzar fucks, and so here we are.
And another one was the second point under that.
No, I saw that. We'll get there.
That's fucked up, my guy.
Oh Jesus. I'm Kate, and I'm here with Burb and Chris and Ash, and it's already a mess, so you know, that's the usual. what are we drinking? Burb, you're dancing. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a beer. It is Tony knocked it on the floor, so I can't find the can.
Oh no,
but it's a German Pilsner.
Bless him.
Yeah, no, I can't reach it. It's a German Pilsner. It's by a brewery I don't know, but I'm sure is, if not local to Portland, then absolutely the Pacific Northwest. I also have another beer in waiting because I've had like a good chunk of this already. It is an Occidental Kolsch, I believe. If that's the one that I pulled out of the fridge because they were both yellow cans.
Sure.
But that is a delicious Kolsch because it's summer in Portland, and Occidental is a friendly local situation for beer.
That was a really normal way to describe that. Thank you.
That's how I describe all the alcoholic beverages I drink.
There you go.
And also where my parents accidentally met friend of the pod, Mishka the dog.
Oh, Mishka is a friend of the pod. She's a good girl.
It was at Occidental, which is in St. John's.
Love it. Ash, you got anything?
I'm drinking a Mike's Hard Pink Lemonade that is
so
slightly out of my reach right now.
I don't think you're drinking it then. I don't know if that's how that works.
I'm going to get up in a second and get it. We're just doing the intro.
He's just got a gust going and then he'll let us roll.
Exactly. It's fine.
Better, worst decisions have been made.
It's true.
If I lean all the way forward, it's like 3 inches away from me. It's painful right now.
Why did you put it so far?
I don't know. This isn't my desk. I'm not in my home.
This is not my large automobile.
Oh my God.
This is not my beautiful wife.
Thank you.
Oh boy.
That was magical. Thank you all. Chris and I are not drinking anything exciting. We have green tea right now because we are low energy motherfuckers and we are sleepy. So
yeah, I have an excuse.
Oh yeah, you do.
Well, Orca wouldn't let me nap.
It's true.
Little fucker hates thunder.
It's true.
He just kept standing on me while I was trying to sleep.
He will literally just crawl up on Chris and just stand there.
Yeah, not lie down, not curl
lie down,
up.
No.
Stand.
Yeah.
And
how else is he gonna do it?
And
does he have like does he have like a tiny thunder shirt?
No.
Should consider getting
do
one.
Do they make thunder shirts small enough?
First
they
of all,
make them for like chihuahuas, right?
He is a chihuahua, so maybe
well, there you go.
He's not he's big for a chihuahua though.
That's
so,
true.
Because he's a mix.
Yeah.
He's not all the way a Chihuahua. He's got some other bigger dogs.
Indeed. I also fucked up my meds this morning, and so to deal with nervousness, took
CBD. I gotta take my meds.
CBD. Yes, you're welcome. You're fucking welcome. Listeners, you're fucking welcome too. Take your fucking meds.
I was kind of ashamed I was kind of ashamed about the fact that I took a gummy before we started recording, but I feel less weird about
sweetie.
That now.
Oh no.
Do not feel.
There was an episode we recorded a couple years ago. You could tell the exact moment mine hit.
That was incredible. That was gold. So we are pro stuff.
I didn't assume you were an anti-weed podcast, but
no, please ask me about the time that Jess Shatara of Less Beautiful Town Pod got me blackout high.
You don't need to finish the rest of that sentence. I know where the story is.
Yeah, Jess Shatara of Lousy Beautiful Town Pod, and that's the story.
That's the story. Anyway, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Everything is...
We're all fine. Situation normal.
Exactly.
How are you?
Everything is always totally okay over here. All right. For this book, our cause is the Prism Foundation, so it's theprismfoundation.org, and I will clarify, because I mumble when I talk, it is prism, like the pretty thing that makes rainbows, not prison, like
jail.
Yeah,
see?
We don't
Everybody laughed when I had to clarify that last time, but it comes out of your mouth and you're like, it really sounds like I just said that it's a foundation for prisons.
We don't support...
We
funding prisons
we
on
sure
this podcast.
Don't.
Well, now I can breathe easy knowing that this isn't a pro prison industrial complex podcast.
No, we didn't say that.
You joined this podcast, and we could have been anti-weed, pro prison industrial complex.
I know, right?
It would be a very different show.
Oh my god, can you fucking imagine? Jesus, would be such fucking narcs. All right. The Prism Foundation is dedicated to exploring critical issues that affect the Asian and Pacific Islander queer community and supporting innovative programs and individuals seeking solutions to those issues. Right now, they're providing academic scholarships for non-traditional API queer students and core funding for under-resourced and underrepresented local community organizations and projects. So give them money. Yay.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride, indeed. All right.
Give your people your money to... non-white queer people.
Yay. All right, well, Chris brought up Elzar Man Fucks, so I guess that's where we're starting.
Canonically, he does.
Canonically, he does.
This is a Disney joint, so they didn't show it on screen.
And thank God
this
for
that.
This
is like the third or fourth Jedi that we know fucks at this point.
I love the duality of, like, Obi-Wan being kind of confirmed Arrow Ace, mm-hmm. and then it's like, nah, in the High Republic, Jedi fuck. Yeah. That's...
Yeah. Well,
we can have a full spectrum in Star Wars.
Right up and down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If the Jedi really represent everybody in the galaxy, you know.
Balance.
Balance.
Listen, this man was literally, like, rummaging around this woman's apartment after she left him morning after looking for his goddamn Jedi pants. So,
nothing bad could possibly happen here.
Oh,
this could not go wrong in any way.
Oh, my freaking god.
He's definitely not in a position where he needs to be focused and in tune with the Force in order to protect people's lives.
Burp, would you like to tell us what your point was under Elzar Fucks, which is literally what is on
I put nothing under
this.
No, these
are
point.
All mine. These,
these
are
all
my
Chris's
points.
Points.
Well, would you like to say what your point is, Christopher?
So the first
I literally don't even remember the name of the person he fucks because I have to assume he called her Avar in bed. Tell me I'm wrong and I'll take it off the outline. I'll delete it right now.
The
tell me I'm wrong.
I see, that's the thing though. I can't tell you that. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm so fucking upset.
I don't know. She seemed like very happy though, and there was like
she did.
It definitely alluded to the fact that she just fucked last night. So I'm gonna go with he did not say that.
I hope he Maybe he thought it, though. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure he thought that shit.
I love that I can bring the confused Arrow Ace representation onto this podcast.
Exactly.
Indeed.
You know who can't? Elzar Man.
Okay. Okay. Wow.
That dude fucks. He was so happy about it. He was like,
"Oh yuck."
He was so fucking horny the whole time. Like
he was.
Stellan showed up, and he was like, "I hope he doesn't notice that I'm thinking all these. They're not gay thoughts.
Yeah.
Impure thoughts. Gay thoughts.
Hope he doesn't notice that I've had a boner all day.
Oh my god. All right. Okay. So why are we even talking about why Elzar fucks? Because.
Chris put it on the outline.
Great, because Chris put it on the outline. Also because I wanted to talk a little bit about his friendship with Stellan, because they're both the worst, but in very different ways, which I find fascinating. So we haven't really seen a Jedi friendship before necessarily, where we get, I don't know, a lot, like, at least in this era, where we get a lot of their interaction, but we also know that, like, this is not, like, a Master Padawan relationship where there's, like, always gonna be that, like, weird, like, power differential. This is, like, they literally grew up together, they've known each other since they were little kids, they were, like, you know, the hooligans at high school who were notorious for, like, doing fucking, like, weird shit, and, like, you know, just, like, blowing stuff up in the parking lot and whatever the fuck else. And I just think it's really interesting because, you know, Stellan's just been appointed to the council, and he's, like, a golden child, as is Eivar, because she's the hero of Hetzel. But, like, but yeah, no, Stellan's, like, out here, like, trying to, like, make a whole Jedi political career for himself, and Elzar's fucking, so, you know, he's just being a piece of shit.
It's big, the energy, when you're, like, friends with somebody in high school, and then you go on to lead very different lives, but, like, you're still besties.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's, like, I don't know. It's I feel like there are, like, instructors probably back at the temple are just probably absolutely like, oh, yeah, you know, Stellan and Eivar are doing great. And then, oh, Elzar, he's there, you know? Like,
yep.
That's kind of how, like, I think, because I have two friends from high school that went on to become doctors. So I'm the Elzar in this analogy, but like.
No, I feel that, though, because two of my good friends from high school are ER doctors, and they're out there, like, literally saving lives for people who are having heart attacks. I went to art school.
Every day I have to be like, my friends are out there being teachers and therapists and all these amazing things, and I'm a musician.
I get you, man. Like, I really
don't know.
One
of my best friends is a priest. And I'm like,
it's true. Confusing.
It's true.
It's confusing on a lot of different levels. True. I'm going to be honest with you here, bro.
Okay, it's cool. So the Episcopals are, like, down with shit, though. Because my best friend
is a good
priest. A gay-ass non-binary priest.
I love that for them.
Fair.
But I'm still like, this is weird.
I thought you were full-on friends with a Catholic priest, and I was like, that...
Oh, fuck, no.
I don't know you super well, but that does not vibe with the picture I got of you in my head.
You're correct. You are absolutely correct. Burbs, what you burb is what you get. So, you know. Oh god, Chris, I feel like you had thoughts. We were talking hashtag off the pod about
no talking off pod.
It's not
even though I texted you about this while I read it.
Wow, no talking off pod, Burb.
Okay, but it was like to make jokes about teens.
Yes.
I mean. So here's my thing, and I said last time, I dropped my hot take that I fucking hate Stellan Geos. I don't enjoy
him. That's
not
a hot take.
Nope. I don't care for Stellan. I love all High Republic Jedi equally. 5 minutes earlier, I don't care for Stellan Geos.
You.
Yeah, like. So, like, obviously Elzar's a fuck-up. That is given. Like, we've kind of known that.
We love him so much.
Since he came into the picture. But, like, behind every successful fuck-up are the successful people who propped him up along the way.
Yeah. That's factual.
I have a question, because I have not read this book. Is Stellan Geos a white man?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Makes sense.
Yes.
Yep. Got it.
There you are.
Also, I love that, like, no, wait, never mind. That's the opposite of what actually happened. I was like, speaking of propping him up, when Stellan did the goddamn Jedi trials. But it was the other way.
Yeah. It was like Elzar helped Stellan cheat on his trials.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is very funny. I mean, Len, like, listen, like, I really like Elzar. I think Elzar is, like, a very fascinating comp to Anakin in a lot of ways, because, like, aww. He is prone to very hard swings of emotion. Like, he is deeply in touch with the Force.
He's so
a
emo.
A little bit, like, he's too empathetic a little
he
bit.
He must be emo.
He's yeah. so emo.
Like, and I love his character. I think he's really interesting, and I cannot wait to see what happens with him both later in phase one and then also in phase three, which hasn't come out yet.
Oh, so he lives.
Well, he did live in this one, which was, I was well, about I to know. Fight someone. I was like, it's the middle of this book.
Oh my gosh.
But it's like, it's kind of like how Obi-Wan just let Anakin, like, he let Anakin be in love with Padme and never bothered to talk to him about it, and was like, this might be a thing that would be helpful for people to talk about. Like,
nah,
your
no
like
feelings.
Temper, which I can like tell from training you, might be a thing we should talk about at some point in a non like admonishing way, but in a, hey bro, are you okay way. Like,
you okay, bro?
Like, honestly, like, it's, and it's very, like, it's, there's almost, like, a toxic masculinity aspect to both
mm-hmm.
Anakin's
my Jedi
fall
order?
And, right, and Elzar's current, you know, state of being, because he doesn't feel like he can talk to anybody. He doesn't have, I don't remember who his master is. Do we know?
They've maybe said it.
I think they may have.
I'm sure we
do
know.
Do I recall? I sure don't, because I got COVID and now my brain doesn't work good.
Yeah.
So
it definitely you don't get the sense that they're still in the picture.
No.
Because they talk about Stellan's master dying.
Yeah. Which feels recent.
Yeah. It was in Light of the Jedi. I think she died at the Battle of the Nebula.
That's right.
I think she was one of those.
Yes.
But so, like, you know who his master is. We don't really know who Avar's is, but we also haven't gotten a ton from Avar's perspective yet. Like,
we also know she's competent, though.
We also do know she's
competent. She seems like the best adjusted.
She's so tired. Like, she just has a permanent handprint on her forehead from just being like, oh my god, these fucking dudes. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And she was able to adjust from the emotional dalliance that she had with Elzar when they were Padawans.
Oh my god. Just these dumb kids just sneaking around the Jedi dorms, just like fooling around and stuff. And I'm just like,
just like those two.
Motherfucker,
kids
these people are telepaths.
Section.
You idiots.
They have to know, right? They have to know that like the Padawans are gonna fuck each other.
Oh,
they
yeah.
definitely know.
Oh yeah.
But they don't let them talk about it. Like, and again, like it's like Elzar and listen, like,
there's no
High Republic Twitter.
Jedi Academy.
I'm not really into High Republic Twitter. I just like see what people retweet.
Not into High Republic.
And like, Elzar Man is very much like turned into people's uwu baby, which I also have different feelings about. But like,
listen, I love a sad sack as much as the rest of us do. But
like,
I know what reality.
Like,
is.
there is plenty of distance between Elzar's never done anything wrong in his life, which I don't agree with, and Elzar was failed by countless people around him throughout his journey as a Jedi to let him get to this point, which I do agree with. So, like, I don't know. Like, I think, and we're obviously, we have half a book left of Elzar here. He's in,
God bless us,
many
everyone.
Other books. He's, I know he's in The Fallen Star, which is the next adult novel. So,
yeah,
like, we're gonna get all, and he's a main character in that too. Sorry, what?
just making Elzar fucks jokes. Don't worry
okay,
about it.
Okay, sure. But, like, it is very, like, and it feels very intentional that it's like this, but, like, he is a wild card, and people don't get to be wild cards overnight, you know? Like, people don't come out and they're like, oh, well, this one, He could go either way.
Oh my god.
Nothing we can do to change that.
See, you say that you haven't met, you've met my cousin. Anyway, Chris, you having read all of these things, how much more do we get about these three knuckleheads and their
oh, quite a bit.
Background? Okay.
Quite a bit.
Okay, cuz I feel like I feel like obviously you were speaking from a deep well of High Republic expertise, and so and I
he's not into High Republic Twitter, so he's who
not.
Knows?
He's not. So he's not.
No, the High Republic Twitter is mostly youth.
We should really get an expert on this podcast from High
Chris,
Republic Twitter.
Yes,
you are unserious. Okay.
all I know about High Republic Twitter is there's one guy they keep reposting who might actually be Elzar. Now that I'm thinking about it, they keep reposting and like horny posting over.
I'm pretty sure that is an Elzar account. Yes.
Fucking amazing. Oh my god. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I feel like I don't know necessarily enough about their youth to like be able to like, you know, make the girl these conclusions or whatever. So I don't know. I look forward to knowing more about the fuck up journey. It's not the hero's journey, it's the fuck up journey.
Yeah, the loser's journey. Yeah. No, we get quite a bit more, and like obviously we've kind of reached the point where Eivor's not on Valo, so like it's I think fair to say that one would assume she's not going to play a major role in the rest of this book. Like
I don't know,
why do you say it like that?
out of the literal sky to fucking do, I don't know.
I mean, it's happened before with Jedi.
There's space magic, and where we left off, shit was about to be under attack.
Yes,
this is true. But like, so we get a lot more of Stellan and Elzar's relationship in this book. We get quite a bit of two of the three interacting in the Fallen Star, and I won't really go further into it than that. But like, and I assume we're gonna get more of the same in Phase 3. So like, we get they're very much kind of like the trio of the High Republic late era.
Sure. Scared.
Burb, we all see you. We're just not responding.
Two of the three? That seems sus.
Oh my god. No one dies in Star Wars. It's fine. Nothing ever bad happens in Star Wars.
Well, when you've got that fucking secret ass illegal shit.
We will talk about the secret ass illegal shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
That could go in. That could mean several different. I think I know which specific,
you know,
secret
exactly
ass illegal shit you're
talking
about. But like, that could go in at least four different directions based on this book alone.
Does it include Elzar fucking?
That's one of them.
Oh, that's not a secret.
That's true too. Okay, let's talk more about Sad Jedi, and then we will get to the criminal secret shit. So Bell's back. He's done being in his back to diaper or whatever.
Bell.
And he's a whole tank, and that's a unless he's got a high waisted diaper.
Listen, Luke had both. So
you are so right.
So Bell's back from the back to tank. And he's just sad inside. We learn in this section that he's trying to cut himself off from the Force because he has too many feelings, which, you know, that's what happens. But yeah, he's like basically struggling, and no one really knows what to do with him, which is just great, and also seems to be a
very
fun pattern.
Very peak Jedi.
A very previously successful precedent for Star Wars characters.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it's and you know, to I was gonna say people's credit, really just Indira's credit. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say
Indira definitely seems to understand what he's going through and is trying to like guide him through it. Although, Kate, I know you read that very differently, and we talked about this last time on the pod.
I can tell, like, at least she's well-intentioned. Sounds like just over here being like, hello, I'm in teacher mode now, and I am very high and mighty and a fucking dickhead, and I hate him.
He's like, yeah. He's like teaching him about the little tokens, and he's like, I don't think he's looking at the tokens.
Stellan loves to hear himself talk.
Listen, as a person who has taught before, because they made me, as I will continue to say, they made me teach for three years for some goddamn reason. It's not so bad at that. Like holy wow, man. Like, oh my god. Like, I was just, oh my god. I was like, this is not best pedagogical practices, bro. Like, what the fuck? Anyway.
But yeah, Stellan is just, he's just, like, and he's also well-intentioned, but he's so ivory tower.
Up his own ass.
Like, and like, the book, like, pretty explicitly says this, that, like, he is so out of touch with, like, normals. Like, he's used to being, he's used to being, like, hashtag gifted.
Oh my god.
And
Jedi normals.
He doesn't know how to relate to people. So, like, he is trying to be really kind. And, like, he, you know, he has a little bit in there of, like, yeah, like, I also had trouble meditating when my master died. And, like, you know, that's trying to relate. And good on you, Stellan. But, like, he's also, like, have you tried just not being sad? Like, it's very much like neurotypical people response when people are like, I'm depressed. Like, well, why don't you just be happy? Like, you know?
It's a great point. Well, I can just be happy.
Oh yeah, that's exactly.
If only I'd thought of that. Thank you, Master Geos.
I know.
This is why they give you the white robes.
That's why he's on the council, folks.
Oh yeah.
Those good ideas.
Oh my fucking god. But yeah, obviously we're gonna get more Vel throughout the book, but I just a little earmark for the sad boy because I feel so bad for him. He is so soft.
Just sad loves, boy, but he's got a good dog.
He just loves his dog.
He has the best dog.
It's true. So, more to come on that. More to come also, I hope, on Loden, because apparently Rose just been keeping him on his ship and torturing him 24/7 for a whole fucking year.
Yeah, when I got to the part about his eyes being clamped open, I was like, this is some CIA shit.
When I got to the part where they just, like, decided to, like, hack his Leku off with his own fucking lightsaber, I was like, this, like, is some Guantanamo Bay shit,
I have seen movies about the Iraq War, / I have watched Zero Dark Thirty many times. I know what the CIA does. It's that shit. It's
now I really want to know why you've watched Zero Dark Thirty, quote, many times.
It's a great film, man.
It's good. I don't know it's one that I want to watch repeatedly.
Leave Miranda and her special interests alone, okay?
Thank you.
Also, not your parents being literal, like, spies or whatever the fuck they did. Like, literally.
Can neither confirm nor deny,
mm-hmm,
I'm
mm-hmm,
sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's fine.
But yeah, sucks to be Loden.
Yeah, no, he's just hanging out in his brain hole with, like, in his brain hole with Mari Santeca, and both of them being like, we're trapped. That's fucking cool. The end.
I like it when they make us listen to them killing people.
I know. I'm scared. That's all.
Mom,
just,
come get me.
I know, really. I don't like it. Yeah, I don't know what the point up till now has been of keeping Loden around, but now that they have the weird force the weird force shroom thingamabobby that
Hamilton out on this shit.
Killed the knife chicken. I what? It didn't do.
Excuse you. We determined this. He is Sam the Eagle.
Knife chicken.
Oh, it's saw a bald eagle this weekend.
Oh, that's nice.
How very American.
I know. Ew. It was on my way to a pride event, so jury's out on that part.
Mixed feelings, yes. All right.
How does that bald eagle feel about cops at pride?
Oh my fucking god.
There were no fucking cops at that pride.
Hell yeah.
We love that.
It was a winery situation. We had a drag queen. There were children there. It was very funny.
That's lovely. All right, Burb, we can talk about weird criminal conspiracy, whatever the hell stuff.
Okay, what's next?
I just said, what's next?
The weird criminal... Shut up!
So, Burb, you were so eager to talk about criminal conspiracy stuff. Somebody else talk, though, because I can't...
I don't know, I only had it in vague terms, so I'm just going to start talking and see what happens.
That's fine.
So I love that, like... there's a magic criminal thing, but mostly I love that like Stellan gets a bad feeling and the dog is like, let's fucking go, and they get there and Elzar is like stalking a senator. And then suddenly
really
someone's
normal.
Like and then someone's like, is that a lightsaber? And then they're all like ready to fucking fight.
That and the storyline with Ty Yorick, all of it converges finally, and so they're ready to lightsaber throw down or whatever the hell, and they're just like, who the fuck is this? And she's just like, Jedi, and
Jedi scum.
Wow.
Who? Again, I think I know the answer to this, but just in your own words, who is that supposed to be?
That was my
Jedi scum.
That was good. That was fucking good. Okay, it was actually. That was so good. I'm not. All right. Okay.
I did
okay.
A great
I'm
job.
I'm giving that to you.
I had to pull the reference up.
Thank you.
So we can appropriately roast
yes.
you.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. Listen, I'll give it to you. I mean, that'll do. I feel like you were gonna say something real.
Was I?
I don't know.
Oh.
I think we all about got.
Jedi. Not Miranda fucking derailing us.
No, I wasn't real. I mean, we'll learn more about Ty Yorick.
I want to learn more about her. She's so fascinating.
Yes, she is.
Where did she come from?
Indeed.
Also,
I am concerned though about the possible uses of this lightsaber no-no box thing, whatever the fuck it is
yeah.
that shuts.
I love that, like, someone fucking saw Tila Tequila, and, like, speaking out, like, we can't rely on the Jedi, and this lady is like, I got this.
Yeah.
Goes
that,
out and finds
that
the most
illegal shit. That dude definitely
wants
to murder
shit.
A Jedi, and I want to help.
Like, what the fuck?
Rolls up to a Republic planet with this illegal ass shit. Like, I got this for you.
It's not just illegal, though. It's like Chernobyl in a box.
Yeah, I got this for you. Is it cancer?
Like, cancer in a box. I there's just so many layers here. And the way she's just like, oh, I thought this was a completely normal thing to do. And everyone's like, no! Is it, like, fucking incredible? I do think it's obviously besides being a nice little plot point, I do think it's an interesting moment for Tia Toon as a character, just because he gets to be like, no, I love the Jedi and think we should work together, and also I have different ideas about what that looks like. And
what is it like having real politics?
Right? Like, I think he's sincere, and also my experience being a live person in 2023 makes me suspicious of his intentions nonetheless.
I'm just like, this is so refreshing that this, like, I don't want to call him a hawk because he is, but like in our
yeah.
sense of it, and I don't know what species he is, so I don't want to make it weird. He's out there like, we need.
He's not a bird. He's not Sam the Eagle.
He's not.
It's like, we need a fucking army. And I'm like, do we? But then everyone else is like, ah. And then the Jedi are like, you hate us. And he's like, no, I actually appreciate you. I think that you're an important part of our political infrastructure here. But, like, that's not your job. Which is fucking, one, correct.
Yes.
One parentheses, one person has realized it.
And it's not the fucking guy you'd expect.
Certainly not Stellan out here fucking, I don't know, walking around like a fucking dumbass. Anyway,
he's just trying
Stellan's
to.
Stellan's like, I was born to be a cop.
Oh my god, he really was though.
Stellan, Tila Tequila has big, like, I'm just gonna play devil's advocate.
It's true.
Vibes.
He was, you know,
but
no,
like,
he was that kid in class.
But like, his whole fucking life. Everyone's like, look at this beautiful fair for the Republic. We did it. And it's great. Like, they got the fucking Togruta queen lady to come, which is like this big political coup. And he's like, okay, but like, have you considered more guns?
And not only that, but he's just like, literally, we could have spent this money on anything else, like food, you know, for
Well, he doesn't
poor
say
people.
Food. He's just like, he's like, and you know, Lena So's like, oh, you know, people can watch it if they can't come. And he's like, yeah, they're all huddled around their TVs. Like, this is a great use of money.
And he's also like, again, he's not wrong about that.
It just makes
my
me
opinion.
So angry.
I hate it.
Like, it's a big fucking extravagance that they're like, and yes, it's great for Gallo, like, or Valo, whatever. Allegedly, I don't know. Anytime like massive infrastructure projects, like, are like claimed or good for planets, I'm like, no, they're not. You should never let publicly funded money build a fucking sports stadium. Don't do it.
It is.
It won't work.
It is not infrastructure week on Valo.
It's true.
It's so true.
So here's my take on it. So obviously, the Republic Fair is an analogy for world's fairs that have occurred in the past. As a person who grew up in a city who hosted a world's fair, this is the level of controversial it was. You know, it's like they spent all this money to clean up, you know, the part of Queens that they dedicated to being the site for it. And, you know, the park there that is there now is beautiful. It's like one of the larger green spaces you can find in New York, which, as we all know, there's no fucking trees. So, like, you know, it's something. You know, they built the baseball stadium. They have the U.S. Open there for tennis. And it's all great and stuff. And also, at the time, like, could they have spent that money on some other parts of the city that were blighted and what the fuck else? Probably. Not that the area was, like, nice to begin with, to be perfectly honest with you. But it was, like, I mean, it was, like, all, like, chop shops for cars and stuff like that. But, like, I don't know.
I mean, you can even go to today for, like, the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Very much the same vibes. Like, that's been...
Oh, yeah.
Like, fucking LA is hosting the Olympics in 5 years.
Which is funny.
And I can
considering
tell you a lot
they still
of...
haven't paid off the last time they hosted the Olympics.
Oh, God.
I've been to LA like once, and I could tell you so many things they could be spending billions of dollars on.
Not on house people.
I'm very excited for the athletes to get stuck in traffic and miss their events.
It's gonna be fucked, man.
Oh my God. I mean, that's why Kobe was in a helicopter, no?
I mean, yes. Other than being an eccentric motherfucker, yes.
I thought that's just what rich people
did. He did take helicopters to Laker games because he hated traffic. Mm-hmm. This is a thing.
It's a smart man.
Yeah, until it works until it doesn't.
I was gonna say
for that one specific thing.
Until you die.
well, that's gonna happen.
But yeah, no, I have missed so many mixed feelings on Tia Toon because I just like I'm like. Necessarily wrong about all this, and also
he's a
annoying
dick.
You're so annoying. Like
he has like one two correct takes,
uh-huh,
and then he's just there to be a pain in the ass.
It's
and annoy
true.
The shit out of everybody.
I mean, to be fair, we've only heard two of his takes.
There could be a
I'm willing
like
to
he is batting
he
a thousand
a
right
more.
Now I'm sure he does, but like
I don't
and I
trust
agree
this
with you,
man.
He's annoying as fuck, but like, as far as we know, he is batting 1,000.
I don't like that one bit. I don't like that one bit.
I don't trust it.
In my brain, I keep comparing him to Ransom Castorfo, who was introduced in Claudia Gray's Bloodline, except like less appealing and definitely less hot. So I'm like,
okay, Ransom Castorfo was also kind of a Nazi.
That's true.
Correct.
But not like those other Nazis. He's one of those cool Nazis.
Didn't he like change sides towards the end there?
He did.
Yeah,
he did.
But he himself
still had
got
Nazi. Like...
He got Nazi.
It was nice. It was classic. I never thought the Leopards Eating Faces party was going to let a leopard eat my face.
The leopard sure fucking ate his face.
Oh
but like
God.
he had hella like imperial paraphernalia in a way that's like this is too much for just like collecting cool shit.
Yeah. It was like, oh yes, I too collect German Panzer tanks in a fucking warehouse down in the outskirts.
As you do. Speaking of using money on useful things. All right.
Just get some coins and move on, man.
Oh my, get some coins. Please stop. It collects credits. Stamps. You know?
I'm just saying, he can be like, oh, I can collect a cool Imperial thing. They don't have coins in the Imperial galaxy, but like, no,
it's
he
metal,
went all the way.
Whatever.
He went all the way.
He did.
But yeah, he is, I like that comparison to Caster Foe, because like, and Caster Foe is another one, like, and you know, I think if Bloodline had come out 6 to 10 years later, we would maybe have different opinions of Caster Foe.
We would have very different.
But
I think so.
Because the whole, like, Nazi, but he's reasonable thing.
I don't know, man. I was
well.
There for the original discourse, and it was pretty bad.
Were you? Oh, yeah. Interesting.
I mean, also, y'all covered that book in, like, 2017.
We did.
Like,
that's true. That was, like, our first one.
There definitely was, like, an ooh-woofication of him, but there was also a lot of people being like, he's a fucking Nazi.
Like, quite literally, yeah.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, and like, he has these political views that it does seem like Tia Toon is kind of on a similar level as him.
That's like, why he can't make a decision about him.
Wants to
or
build up the military. Like,
comment on his, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't be like, he reminds me of Caster Foe, because I'm not sure how I feel about either of them. So
yeah,
that's fair enough.
Well, and that's I think kind of getting back to Tia Toon and like his opinions. The one thing that I think is a little bit lost, but also like should also be said, is like when he's like, imagine what else we could have spent that money on. He's thinking a military. Like, he's not thinking feeding people in the Outer Rim, like ramping up Bacta production.
I mean,
making
to be fair, transportation safer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, that's bad phrasing. I mean, he hints at that stuff, but like, we could do this, but that's not what he's pushing for.
Exactly.
That's not the drum he's banging.
Exactly.
Right.
He's like, you know, theoretically, oh, and this other thing that I hadn't mentioned that I talk about all the time is a military. Like, and that's, and honestly, I think he's a very good foil to Lena So in this one, because, and I like Lena So. I love a good, naive view of politics. I really
I
do.
I love an optimist.
I love an optimist. Like, good on Charles Soule and the whole crew for dreaming up really what everybody wanted Obama to be. But but like, at the same time, like, as Star Wars literature delves into these complicated topics, at some point people need to stop being caricatures. And Lena So is very much a caricature of, if we just didn't care about money and spent it where we needed to spend it, then everything would work out. And the reality is they spent billions of credits putting on what is, in the grand scheme of things, an exclusive party.
Yeah.
Sorry,
but
I'm
it's
just, like,
a fun exclusive party.
Like, and like Starlight Beacon, I get, because that has an actual
function.
Yeah, function, exactly. But like, the fair to me, less so.
Yeah.
Okay, you were gonna say something.
No, I was just gonna say my hot take for today is Lena So is Obama but with cats. So.
We could have had it all.
Yep.
I gotta say, knowing absolutely nothing about these books, once again, you guys paint such a picture.
Big cats.
She has really big,
like,
cats.
Like, actually big cats? Or is that a euphemism?
Yeah, like lion-sized cats.
Yeah, like literally, like for real, like for real. This is like colorful lion-sized cats. Like, and they have like, and they have four eyes apiece. It's real. They're cool.
Are they Nexu? Is that what it is?
No, actually.
No,
but
they're like pet cats.
Yeah. See, well, now I'm bummed.
Although
that
is also
Nexu.
What I picture. Well, you can't just have other people
domesticated next to.
They're probably somewhere in the Nexu evolutionary chain. I would bet there's a common ancestor.
You get. You know,
they're called Targons. If you would Targon, if anybody isn't reading along and wants to look it up.
Yes. All right, last thing I have on here for today is, obviously, this is just the what's going on with the Nile right now is feels like a bunch of setup for wild stuff that's going to happen later, but oh boy, there is a power struggle, not just brewing, it's just happening, period. So, like, the Tempest Runners now know about Mari Santeca, and they're trying to use that to blackmail Marcion Roe, and he seems to kind of like wrest that that power they've given themselves away from them, that power of knowledge there. But still, things are very touch and go there for about 30 minutes. I think what I'm like, we already know that like Lorna D and Pan Atar, who we saw in Light of the Jedi, are very much like maneuvering and like trying to balance like, all right, when do we want to be following Rose orders, and when do we want, and like, and how far are we going to take this, and when do we want to just like decide to take power for ourselves if they want to do that. But then we throw Zitar into the mix, and oh my freaking god, the moment where they're describing his like giant mech suit that is all the way too much, I was laughing out loud. He is ridiculous. But he's this interesting intersection, I think, of being a new Tempest Runner. You know, he's elevated by Ro, and he, when that happens, and you know, when the mob boss tells you that you're in charge of like real shit now, like you have to feel beholden to them. But also,
you gotta follow the rules.
Mm-hmm. But also, he used to serve under Lorna D, and so he's kind of afraid of her. And then he's like trying to like, I don't know, have a, I was gonna say a big dick contest, like a big mech contest. And it's like
a mech measuring contest, if you will.
Yes. Thank you. That is exactly
I provide such a vital contribution to this podcast.
You do.
Listen, in Zitar's defense, who among us isn't scared of and or a little bit horny for Lorna D?
That's yes. What makes me into her.
I was going to mark me down as scared and horny.
Yes.
Miranda and I notoriously have the same type when it comes to women, which is women who could kill me, so...
Can you murder me? Yes,
yeah.
Great.
Great. So, you know, that's fine there. But anyway, I don't know what to make of him. I think it's purposeful right now that I don't know what to make of him, but I'm just like, are we taking down the original three Tempest Runners, you know, one after another? Because we've already got Kasab out of the picture. Or are we just going to have the one rotating one where it's just like, it's kind of like the, it's an Empire where Vader's just like keeps like going through admirals and stuff. Like, is it going to be like that? Like, so this is my question.
Yeah. And Pain Ada is also interesting because like, he's like so close to like not being entirely wrong too. Like he has some points. Like literally nobody
like Tia
gave
Toon?
Him this. Like Tia Toon. Like he's like nobody actually gave him leadership. He kind of just started bossing people around, and nobody really stopped him. And now we're here.
It's like you know we all gotta have that one guy at work who just like thinks that they're the supervisor, and you're just like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
I've got that guy. It's fine.
But then also Pan Ada and Ro both make the exact same critical mistake of trusting loyalty from pirates.
They keep doing it too. Like this is not new, you know?
They think they're working with Han Solo here. Like,
oh my god.
And even could you imagine three Han Solos leading?
No! Thank you. No. That is a passel of idiots. I don't like that.
I'm confident that three Han Solos would not be enough to screw in a light bulb.
No!
There's a reason the Falcon's in that bad shape.
Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness.
But it is funny to see this view of Marky and Roe because like he's very impressed with himself, and he is small. Like he is smart. There's no denying that. Like he like manipulated the whole situation to kidnap Loden because he wanted to kidnap a Jedi. Like he played Kasav like a fiddle. Like he is good at this. And
he's
also
annoying smart.
Yes,
he's annoying smart. And part of being annoying smart is that you're not quite as smart as you think you are.
It's true. So I feel like Troy Baker. What?
What a comparison.
Am I wrong?
I'm not convinced that Troy Baker's that smart.
I don't think Troy Baker's smart. I don't think he's smart enough to qualify as annoying smart. I think he's just annoying.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take that.
Troy Baker is if a drama kid was also like a jock.
Oh, you mean like Zac Efron in High School Musical?
No, yeah. He's the guy that brings the guitar around to parties.
Yes. He absolutely is. And he plays the exact same intro to that fucking Jason Mraz song at every single party, and everybody thinks it's cool. Millennial reference. Nobody else knows what we're talking about, but that's okay. Kate and Miranda do.
Sure.
I don't. I can only think of a very certain
Is it the one with the ukulele?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep, I know what you're talking about.
All right.
Yeah. Millennials, we all know. It's because we've all been to those parties where somebody started playing Jason Mraz on a guitar.
I did not go to those fucking parties.
See, I went to nerd high school, so we didn't have parties. There was just kids doing that in the hallway obnoxiously while class was happening, and it was like, shut the fuck up, bro. Like, anyway.
No one actually thinks you're cool.
I sure didn't think that guy was cool.
I've had one person at a party with a guitar, and it was not that kind of situation.
The person... Well, never mind, we can take this.
You have to be you have to be so hot to pull off guitar at a party.
It's true.
Yep. Like... The guitar doesn't make you hot. Like, no. You need... It is an add-on. It is an accessory.
No.
You've got to be hot enough for people to tolerate that shit.
Exactly. Yeah. This is not a chicken or egg situation. One does come before the other.
Yeah. Like, it's not like confidence. Like, if you have enough confidence, you can pull anything off. You can't pull anything off just with a guitar. And Marky and Rowe needs to learn that he can't pull anything off just with Jason Mraz.
Oh boy,
I think that's the end.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where we go. From
I don't
here.
Know where we I go just, from there.
It's just that's
no.
Well, thank you all for listening to the nicest of all episodes.
Stop it.
Of the Book Wars Pod.
Technically, it's not the nicest. That's
it's,
not true.
It's 100 nice.
It's 100 extra nices. It's
exactly. True. Nice to the 100th.
Oh my god.
Next episode, we are going to be continuing with The Rising Storm, reading chapters 29 through 49, which feels like an excessive amount, but they're short. If you have the means, first and foremost, please donate to the Prism Foundation at... My scroll won't work.
It is
the prismfoundation.org.
Yes, the Prism Foundation, not prison.
Prism. Think like kyber crystals, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, that's see?
Gay.
Tied it in.
What? It's not gay, it's nerdy. That's just the word I use for everything. Because
literally, someone coughs. Seems gay.
That's burb.
And other than that, please... if you are so inclined, donate to the Tosche Station Radio Patreon or give us coffee at ko-fi.com/bookwarspodorca. I swear to God. Sorry, he's just like yipping because he can tell that we're almost done. And a reminder that there is a new Patreon tier for $2 a month. $1 a month gets you into the Tosche Station Radio Slack, where good times are had by all. Today, we discussed what Disneyland ride I was terrified of. As a child. So that's, you know, for Patreon supporters only. The $2
you
tier,
tell us
you
now?
Can... I can tell you off pod.
Oh, I don't care.
Listen, the listeners need to pay up for that information.
Damn, Jesus.
And then there's a second $2 tier where Kate and I are streaming. I have officially finished Jedi Survivor. Kate has officially finished Burning Shores. So we'll figure it out. Red Dead 2 is a possibility. Kate punching me in the back of the head while we play co-op Halo is a possibility.
It's true.
Do I mean in real life? Do I mean in the game? Who knows? Who's to say?
You know.
And also, the real reason to support us is because you really want to support Argos, Jasper, Orca, Tony, Wedge Arf Tillies, and Tifa. Tifa Barkhart, right?
Indeed. Yep.
Okay, very important to get the full names in there.
You gotta get the full show. You gotta show her the full respect she deserves.
It's true. It's a sign of respect, is what it is. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Our theme song is Whiz Bang by Poddington Bear. Our logo and artwork are by Jupiter Design. Our audio and production are done by the wonderful newest member of the pod, Ashton, at Ash Jeffies on Twitter.
That's me.
Thank you all.
I was going to say Wedgarf Tillies.
Wedgarf Tillies is doing our audio and production.
Wedge is a vital part of my audio process.
Oh, yeah. No question. I mean, Orca contributes audio. You all heard him just a minute ago. Anyway, thank you all for listening from all of us here at Book Wars Pod. We'll talk to you next week.